second version of NASA's top three strategy components coming up in the next 5 years?
Oh, the top three are not in any special order. What we call the Space Launch System, heavy lift launch vehicle to carry a multi-purpose crew vehicle, which is presently in the form of the Orion crew module for our exploration program. Second would be extension and enhancement of use of the International Space Station to at least 2020 with our international partners, teamed with a capability to get to low Earth orbit through commercial means, commercial crew and cargo. And then third, in the area of science, the James Webb Space Telescope. Those are the three top priorities agreed to by the President and the Congress.
So the Webb Telescope seemed to have gotten a last-minute reprieve because the Senate funding ended up in the conference bill. So that sounds like it was really good news for NASA.
It was very good news for us, as was the entire budget. And I think, what paid dividends for us was continual communications with the Congress and the White House on where we thought priorities should be and where they could agree that the priorities could be.
Is that how NASA is able to adapt or is adapting to these budget pressures?
NASA is an organization that generally responds to the needs of the nation and more so these days to the international community in the area of science and exploration. So we have to be flexible to adjust to what comes from the Congress and the White House, but also responsive to the recommendations that come through things like decadal surveys in the area of science, to what's being asked for by the broader science and aeronautics community.
Now, there was an op-ed piece in one of the major papers just yesterday, and we've seen this kind of theme, that NASA should not forget the national security implications of having capability and to some degree dominance in space. Is that baking into the thinking now, do you think?
When you talk about national security implications, that is something that is first and foremost. Well, I won't say first and foremost. First thing for me is always safety of my crews, whether they're traveling to space or whether they're there on the International Space Station. But a very close second is implications of everything we do in national security. So you'll find that we, like every other federal agency and lots of businesses, are very attuned to cybersecurity and the needs imposed by our increasing international cooperation, which, while very necessary, does expose you to some vulnerabilities that you would not have if you were working on your own.
We are talking with NASA Administrator Charles Bolden, and you can bring us maybe up to speed on the effort to develop a new vehicle for astronauts and how things have evolved since the retiring of the space shuttle program.
I'll try very quickly. In terms of access to space, access to low Earth orbit and the International Space Station, we're working diligently with a number of commercial partners. Many of them are the same companies who have built spacecraft for us since our beginning, companies like Boeing and Lockheed Martin, but also new companies like Blue Origin, SpaceX. Orbital's not new, but they're new to the game of taking cargo to the International Space Station. We're trying to help them develop the capability to get things to low Earth orbit in replacement for the shuttle, while NASA goes off and works with our international partners and our industry partners in designing a heavy lift launch vehicle with what is very important, the new technologies that are necessary to make it viable for going to destinations that are much beyond low Earth orbit, the moon, Mars, asteroids, and other places beyond low Earth orbit.
And have we decided whether it will be the moon or an asteroid or Mars? Because don't they have pretty wide-ranging implications for how you develop the program?
The ultimate destination is Mars, and that decision has been made quite some time ago by people long before me, but President Obama has allowed us to focus our efforts on that, and so the design of the heavy lift launch vehicle and the multi-purpose crew vehicle is specifically to evolve to a vehicle that can get us to Mars in the 2030s. In the interim, we've got to be able to go to intermediate destinations that will help us learn the kinds of things that we need to know to make it safe for humans to travel those distances, new technologies that we will test either on the International Space Station, some will be tested on the moon, some will be tested in getting to an asteroid, and others just tested in normal flights, what we call circumlunar missions, just going around the moon to demonstrate that we do in fact know how to do that the way we used to.
And I wanted to ask you, moving to some more internal type of topics, NASA got its first clean financial audit opinion in 9 years. Do you think that will help your credibility on the Hill when it comes to budget appropriation requests in the future?
Tom, I think any time you can demonstrate that at least you seem to know what you're doing in the fiscal arena, then you gain some credibility everywhere. So we have always said, I said from my very first hearing after becoming the NASA administrator, that our task is to demonstrate to Congress and the American public that we are good stewards of their money, that we know how to manage it, and that we will keep close hold on it and get the most efficient, effective use of every dollar that we get. So the clean audit, without a doubt, adds a lot of credibility to our ability to deliver there.
NASA also is getting some praise for knowing what it's doing in the human resources arena, being named one of the best places to work in government, number 5 on the list this year. To what do you attribute that? You're keeping somebody happy.
Amy, we're happy, but we're not as happy as we want to be. Number 5 is okay, but we're not number 1. So let it be known by all others ahead of us that we're coming after them. We want to be number 1, the number 1 best place to work in government. We spend a lot of time on people issues because we're a people organization. And the team that we have in place here, I mean, going from Jerry Buchholz, who heads our human capital office, right on down through the mission directorate, associate administrators, and the center directors, we all try to stay focused on our people and making sure that they feel that they're being listened to, that they have a role to play in everything that we do, and that no matter how wild their idea, they can introduce it and we'll give a thought to it. And you all saw an example of that in the SAVE Award winner who came up with an idea that maybe other people had thought about but didn't have the guts to bring it forward, or may not have chosen to bring it forward or whatever. But Matthew Ritzko from Crofton, who works over at the Goddard Space Flight Center, is an example of the kind of boldness that we want to have from our employees.
And while we have you for just another moment, when you came in as administrator, it was a time of great controversy, and really Congress and the administration were kind of arguing over your head about where NASA would go. Have things settled down now that there is a budget, now that the priorities seem to have gelled somewhat? Are you having a better time of it day to day?
Tom, I have a great time of it every day. I get up in the morning anxious to come to work, and I go home feeling like we've really made a difference in the lives of people in the world. But, I think the Congress and the administration have been working diligently over the last 2.5 years. We mentioned earlier, the fact that they had settled on 3 top priorities. As long as you can prioritize, any organization can decide how it wants to go about doing things. Everything started for us really with the 2010 Authorization Act that laid out a clear path for where we were going in the future in terms of human spaceflight and exploration and science and aeronautics. And so we're about trying to comply with the will of the Congress and the administration as we carry out that direction. It came from the 2010 Authorization Act and has subsequently been supported through the budget that we recently received. So it's a good place. We are a great place to work. I'm very happy to come here every day, and I'm excited every day I come to work.
We know you have to go. Very, very quick last question of a personal nature. A lot of boys and girls dream of growing up to become astronauts. You grew up to become the king of astronauts. You're in charge of all the astronauts. Is that what you were shooting for, and what advice would you give some young feds coming up now?
Well, ironically, I had no desire to become an astronaut. I never dreamed of being one. I knew what astronauts were when I was growing up in South Carolina, but it was something out of the realm of possibility for me. But I did fall in love with math and science, and I wanted to become an engineer and go to the United States Naval Academy. So gradually, I fulfilled my desire to go to the Naval Academy and came into the Marine Corps, something else I said I wouldn't do after that. Started flying airplanes, something else I said I would not do, and then eventually became a test pilot. So I evolved into my career as an astronaut, and I tell young people to do the same things I did. Study really hard so that they are prepared no matter what life delivers them. Work very hard at becoming the best at whatever they do, and probably the most important thing is for them to never be afraid of failure, to be bold, ask for things that they want, even if people think that it's impossible for them to attain those goals, and things will work out for them.
Columbia, South Carolina?
Columbia, South Carolina, born and raised, my wife and me.
Oh, me too.
Amy, what school?
Gamecocks.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's all right.
Wait a second.
Well, I'm a Naval Academy graduate,
okay.
and the other USC alum, but I'm still a Gamecock fan. I enjoyed the game this weekend. It was thrilling for me.
Oh, you and I will be great friends.
Oh, yes.
Joined together in the defeat of Clemson. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much, both of you, and have a great day.